anyone who ends up being on call, whether as a resident, a fellow, or an attending on Shabbos, has to contend with. And therefore, it's worth getting the full overview with a very practical emphasis. So, what did we get from her question, which I thought was really a great springboard, is the following. She mentions three modalities of writing. Plain old writing, then the very common and more common and soon to take over EMR, right? Everything's going to be on computer. It's for everyone's good that it go that way, and it's really rapidly moving that way. My office is being forced into it, and everybody's doing it. So we have to talk about the status of writing with computers and various devices. And then she threw in the Tzomet pen, which is this disappearing ink pen. We have to understand if it still has application and usage. Again, I brought one in for show and tell if anyone wants to see one. It's actually not opened again, and yeah, you can pass it around if anyone wants to see an actual. I do think it still has application, so take a good look at it. So then she throws out, what makes her question really interesting is she throws out various scenarios which get things complicated. Actually, you know, this is a good example to what we were just talking about a few moments ago, because she has examples here where she clearly is viewing the patient as in a situation of being completely healthy and having not even, she doesn't even want to categorize the patient, some of these patients, as a cholesh ein bo sakana. We'll see about that, right? Because I think she's going a little too far. But what do we do in various scenarios? You know, when it's a cholesh yesh bo sakana, when it's a cholesh ein bo sakana, when it's gotten to the point of evaluation that she discusses. So questions can get very complicated. And this is a great general mahalach to all questions that have to do with being on call on Shabbos, is to organize your thinking very simply. You start with this. Categorize the patient. That's step one. And I want to repeat, this is going to come up today. What we really need to be concerned with mostly is cholesh yesh bo sakana, what can I do for them? Cholesh ein bo sakana, what can I do for them? So to quickly review. Cholesh yesh bo sakana, what can I do for them? What should I do for them? If no cost to the patient, what should I do to them? Right, we should still try to minimize. Right, so that's going to be part of the deal here. That's part of the psak. Even though for chol sheyesh bo sakana, you could be machal Shabbos derais if you have to, but when you don't have to, you shouldn't. And you should try to minimize. So that's why it's important to know the hierarchy of writing that's available. And again, I want to emphasize, as I've done so many times, absolutely besafek go l'kula l'gavi Shabbos, l'chum l'gavi sakanas l'fashos. Which means, if you have any doubts, you treat it like you can't waste time playing around with a kal kal tchilo, right? It's only if you're really comfortable and you know what you're talking about and you won't jeopardize the patient, right? I know it goes without saying, but I feel like I need to say it all the time. Next, after you've categorized the patient, so it's chol yesh bo sakana, we know that. What about a chol yesh bo sakana? What can I do for them? What's the ikar adin for chol yesh bo sakana? Pass me the Ramban, which is the Rabbanan Beshinur. The Rabbanan Beshinur. That is how we paskin. But there are those two very famous loopholes that exist that are brought down. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Bishas Adchak, which we are going to be dealing with more frequently than your average person out there. So what's available? It's not only Durabanan's Beshinoi, but sometimes any Durabanan, which is going to be very important when it comes to computers, we'll see in a moment. And sometimes a Doraisa Beshinoi also, which is going to be very, very important in this topic as well. Those are based on the Psak of either Chaye Adam for any Durabanan or many, many Achronim for the other one. Okay, great. Step two is to know the nature of the medical intervention that you're involved in. Is it an Issa Doraisa? Is it Issa Durabanan? Is it a high-level Durabanan, a low-level Durabanan? We're going to go over all that relate to this topic, but that would be step two. For whatever you're doing, you're going to see it's going to come up. You know, you want to do an EKG, you want to put on a Holter monitor. Those have very different halachic status. It's very interesting. We'll see that even today. Because ksiva involves not only writing and notes and discharge orders and orders and death certificates, but it also involves imaging. Imaging and even something like an EKG, that is getting involved in ksiva, and a Holter monitor might be. Right? We'll see how that all plays out. After you've understood the nature of the intervention, then you got to get the hierarchy and know it. So that's what you want to do with every case. So let's start with ksiva is our topic. So when it comes to ksiva, or it comes to any, this is a good general approach, again, to any issue of Hilchos Shabbos, when you want to start moving out of Daraisa, out of Melacha, into other categories, you go with two potential avenues. Anyone know what I'm getting at? This is classic Shabbos 101, right? If you ever learn Masechta Shabbos, you ever learn about the Melachos, first thing you should realize is that what makes a Melacha? What makes a Melacha Daraisa? Two things need to be. Two general things. It's got to be meeting the definition of the Melacha as defined by generally by Mishkan, right? How is this Melacha done in the Mishkan is going to define the Melacha. Ksiva, for example. How is Ksiva defined? Where was Ksiva in the Mishkan? So, the Krushim, there's one, there are two possibilities. One is that they labeled all the Krushim. Why did they label the Krushim? Just as an aside, we should learn a little Torah, right? Not just do Halacha. What? Right, why is that important? So, who cares? They're all the same. But they did Aleph. It's a machlokes Rambam Rashi Aleph or Aleph Beis. But either way, who cares? Why? There's a nice yisod that has other applications. Because Milan b'kedusha. So the Krushim that were near the Kodesh Kodashim should always be near the Kodesh Kodashim. The ones that are at the lower levels of kedusha around the Mishkan should always be there. So the only way to assure that was to label them. What's an analogous thing that we put on every day? Talis, right? Why do we have an atar on the talis? Just for decoration? No, it's a halachic issue. Because we want to make sure the tzitzis that are in front of us, risim also, are always in front of us. So that's why you have an atar to identify them. It's a Magen Avram in the beginning of our Chaim. Anyway, so ksiva is, that's one possibility. What's special about that possibility is, what is ksiva being defined as there? Seems too osios, or labeling. In other words, the act of ksiva, the malach of ksiva, means you're labeling something. We're going to see this is very, very important in a moment. Halach l'maisa, believe it or not. Right? What's the other possibility for ksiva in the Mishkan, which is also going to be important, halach l'maisa? The big de kahuna, like the tzitz. The tzitz said, what? What did it say on the tzitz? Kodesh Hashem. Right? So maybe that's it. Why is that? What's the manafkamina between these two? Is it labeling or is it saying words, writing words? Right? So right away, it's going to have application. So one, in terms of meeting the melacha d'oraisa of ksiva, it needs to fit the definition. So it means shtei osios, and we'll see what other factors come into play. But what's the other element for every melacha to be d'oraisa? Meleches machshavas, which involves about seven things, right? Melacha shenizrich l'gufa, davar shemiskaven, shel kayama, kedarko, what else? Grama, right? What else? Right, being tikkun nakilkul, one more. Right, if it's a malacha meant to be done by one person, it should be done by one person. If it's done by two, that also is going to make it a darabana. So all those melachos machshavos criteria. Any one of them that's missing, meaning in the affirmative, being a melachos machshavos, will make it a darabana. This is all powerful stuff, because we're always interested in getting down to a darabana. We could work a lot more in the world of darabanas. Especially when we're going to be dealing with the Chol She'im Basakana, as many discharge patients are. So we're going to have to see where that has application. So let's start with the definition of ksiva. So the Mishnah over here on page 1 really gives a lot of information. A lot of it is deceiving because the way we paskin is going to be a little different than the Pashut Pshat in this Mishnah. But let's just read it quickly. Akosif Shtei Osios, right? There it is. Bein b'yamino, bein b'smola. Whether you're writing with your right hand or your left hand. Let's get into this right now. So wait a second. This is going to end up telling me what's necessary to be chayiv for the malacha of ksiva. So it's telling me whether I write with my right or my left. So is that true? No. We're going to learn about shinoi. The primary shinoi is the lefty should write with his right hand, the righty write with the left hand. So what's this saying? So the Gemara, if you learn this Gemara, quickly gets rid of that. It says this is talking about a person who's mamish ambidextrous, right? Writes with both, equally. That person's stuck. He's got to come up with a different shinoi, right? They can't use right or left, they're chayev for. But we are going to paskin that a righty, writing with a left right away, you're in good shape. While we're on the topic, let's just talk about this. What are other shinoyim available? This is going to be very important. Now, let's say we get to a situation where we could do ksiva b'shinoi, right? We're going to be relying either on those poskim that say you could do shinoi daraisa, or we're going to use that great pen over here, which we'll see most poskim in the whole, this is also derabanan. So if you do shinoi derabanan, you're an ikar din able to do a chalashim basokana. Sounds great. What's the downside of writing with your opposite hand? Two things. It's not going to be legible. And two, it takes a long time, right? So what are other options for shinoi by... By the way, is there any other malacha that has this right-left shinoi? No. It's really the only one, right? Everyone else is like considered like not going to be. What would be another shinoi that's good for writing? So one, suggested by the poskim, is the best way to do it is you take your pen and put it upside down. Go like this. That's a mamish shinoi, right? Is it practically more useful than the other one? Trust me, no. Right? Unless you got practiced at it. If you get really good at it, you still can use it. I think you asked me this back in Torah Shriver like years ago. But the answer is the same. Yes, you're okay. It's an objective batul daito, batul yado. It's a kolada, right? Those are too slow still. Those are too slow. There's one chino in the Nishmas Avram suggests and got the approval of Rav Shlomo Zalman that to me is the fastest one of the shinuyim. And that is to write without your thumb. So you write normal, not like this, but you're holding it like this. Now, this is better than the other two in my practical experience. However, still, if you're writing a lot, right? And we'll talk about when you can write a lot and if you should. But let's say hypothetically you're writing a note or something, still, or a consult. Right? Consult is one where you're going to be under pressure to write that note. Right? You need to get that information. It could be a Chol Sheish B'Sakana, and they need it in the chart, right? At least in the old days. Nowadays, we have something that might facilitate things. What's that? EMR, right? In other words, this whole Shinoi thing might be academic soon. Because if you're going to be writing on the computer anyway, we need to know the status of that. And which is better, to write shinoi like this or on the computer? Because certainly writing on the computer is a lot more convenient, faster, practical. So we'll get to it in a second. All right. If you turn the page, prematurely got into Melechas Machshavas. I really wanted to keep this kesev. I wanted to talk about the issues that relate first to definition. So one of them is two osios. What about one os?
Depends on whether it doesn't
what?
Depends on whether it doesn't mean it.
Ah, well, before... What do you mean by that?
It doesn't mean something useful beyond its big letter. It's just a letter.
Well, here...
means something... Stands for a word or it has some significance.
Things might have gone that way, right? There is a very, very famous machlokas, or a famous lamdas, about ksiva, in particular about many malachos, and that's the difference between chatzi shir and chatzi malach. Now, two osios, two letters, is the isur daraisa, right? So you would think one letter, it's only a derabanan at worst, right? If it's chatzi malacha, then you're definitely okay. Chatzi melacha means that you're not doing any complete melacha, pachos mikashir, you're not doing a melacha, right? That would be much better. If it's chatzi shir, you want it to what problem? Chatzi shir is an iser, deraisa. That's how we paskin, right? Machlokes Rav Yochanan, Rish Lakish, Yuma, right? The whole famous sugya. And we paskin b'chumra, Yochanan. It is asur mideraisa. So many poskim write that one letter is Chatzi Melacha, the Iri, and others are famous for this. But Mishnah Berurah, Paskin's the other way. Right? So one letter is going to be Nisa Daraisa. See, that's not going to help. Aside from that, two letters are a lot of things we write are abbreviated in medicine, as we all know. So if you write something like, well, let's see if you know some of the famous abbreviations of medicine. What is, if you're a cardiologist, you get this all the time, CP. Chest pain, right? That's this is the ISO, right there. DX, that's every field of medicine. Diagnosis, FX, function, right? A lot of SX, surgery, all these Most words in medicine can end up being Isurei Daraisa. And even one letter we're going to be treating as an Isur Daraisa. So we're not going to get out of definitional assistance from the number of letters, that's for sure. What's another definitional issue? What about symbols that are not letters? A little about what you were getting at, right? So we're going to paskin that symbols, numbers, right? They're also going to be a problem. They're also going to be a problem. Certainly midrabanan, right? Even Roshem is going to be a problem. The Rambam held that Roshem is a tolda of Ksiva, and that's going to be an Issa Daraisa. Most of the other Rishonim said it's the Rabbanon, but either way, it's going to be Aser. What about writing in English? Right? Famous Sugya. I have to give a plug for Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's easy. It's on page 2, but let's do everything outside, because I really want to get through this whole thing today. Do a whole other topic. The Gemara in Gittin says that you're allowed to tell a Nochri on Shabbos to write up a shtar in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why is that mutter? So it's a mir l'nochri to do an Isur D'Oraisa, right? So most poskim hold, most rishonim, not all, but most, hold that, well, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is such a significant mitzvah, aleichem, right, that it trumps. It's one of the few times we're going to follow the sheet of the Bala Iter. The Bala Iter holds. You could do Amir al-Nachri even on a Daraisa. We don't pass in that way. Baseline is Shvus, the Shvus b'makom mitzvah. Right? The Bala Iter is the only one who says you could do a one Amir al-Nachri on a Daraisa for a mitzvah. But the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is such a biggie, right, that we make an exception. That's the way Rov Poskin Paskin. Now, why is this important? Because according to those Poskin, that means that it's true, whatever language you're going to write it. It's an Isur D'Oraisa to write. Nevertheless, for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you can do it. Comes along the Or Zarua, and he says, guess what? No, that's not Pshat in that Gemara at all. Pshat in the Gemara is, it is a Shvus to Shvus B'makom Mitzvah. Shvus number one is Amir L'Nachri. Shvus number two is he's writing in his language. Is he writing in English? Or even better, he's going to write in Hebrew. But not Ksav Ashuri, not the original Ksav Ashuri. So, according to that, you can write normally in English, and that's only in Issa D'Rabbanan. Do we pass in that way?
Yes.
The Ramah says so. God knows why suddenly we don't follow the Ramah. But everybody jumps in, the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, it says, he's a Das Yachid, what is he doing? You know, it hurts. We follow the Ramah, the Chumrah all over the place. You know, Psik Reisha, the Lanichulei, and you trade the Rabbanans, all these things that the Ramah puts in as a Chumrah. But I don't know. So, it is, though, worth knowing about this, because the Poskim do use it as a Snif L'Hakel. They ultimately will be using this Ramah, so we're not going to be, like, throwing it out the window. It's a very important Ramah to know. That he passes like the Zor Zeruah. The only languages writing is the Raisa, Aksava Shuri in Hebrew, and you know the other one? Yavanis. So, don't be a sofer on any of your notes, and don't write in Greek. For sure, don't do that. That's a mamish Issur D'Oraisa, even for the Ramah. Right? So if anyone was contemplating that, we're good. We are going to come back to this. You'll see, if you look, although all the Achronim blasted the smithereens, nevertheless, the Nishmas Avram mentions that Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to throw it in. We'll see in a very critical place, he's going to throw it in as a Snif L'Hakel to help him get past some opposition to some other kula that he wants to introduce. All right. So those are the definitional issues. What about Melechus Machshavas? There's really two. One we covered, which is on page 3, which is Shinoi. Again, remember, Shinoi has three options, really. If you're righty, left hand, etc. Two, that upside down writing, like this, which the way to position yourself. For some reason, I had trouble doing it other than to start like this and then go like that. But and the one, the Nishamas Avram, to me is the best. When is this not with your thumb? The key is don't use your thumb. Use any other two fingers and write. Some people can get really good at this. That's considered a legitimate Shinoi. The other ones are like impossibilities. Use your foot, and how do you do that? Your elbow, your teeth. teeth, I guess, you know, creative people can do. Where's Gav when I need him? I'm sure he could do it. All right. Then, what's the other Melechus Machshavas issue? What's the other Melechus Machshavas issue? Oh, wait, let me mention something. There was an incidental thing. It's nothing to do with our topic, but somebody asked me a shayla, I think 2 weeks ago, that actually comes up in Rav Neventhal discusses the Sor Zeruah. He's machmir like the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. Rav Neventhal says, Das Yachid, you know, when you hold this way, English is an Isur D'Oraisa, don't get excited. And then he throws in something, but he says that in this context, he mentions a very important Yisur. If you are paskin l'chumra, but someone else has a legitimate psak l'kula, it is not lifnei iver for you to ask them to do it. They could do it as long as they have a legitimate psak. Someone had asked me, he was talking about brain death in that area. So this mamish happened to me once. It was some people who unfortunately lost their teenage son. And they wanted to donate his liver to a designated person who was a very, very well-known person in the firm community who needed a liver. And they really wanted to do this. And they had a psak. They had a legitimate psak from, Rav David Feinstein at the time, who had told them that we hold from brain death. My father held from brain death. He's talking about Rav Moshe, etc. And therefore, you can do this. I, and the poskim I've spoken to, don't hold that brain death is definitive death. It's suffering death. But they needed me to facilitate this whole thing to happen. Was it lifnei iver for me to facilitate them doing this for their psak? So I asked the shayla at that time. I was told, absolutely, it's fine. And that's exactly what Neventhal is saying over here. So whenever that comes up, you should realize it. That there is no lifnei iver to get someone to do something you think is aser, but they got a legitimate psak as well. All right, didn't want to forget to mention that. What about the other... What is the other Melechus Machshavas that could come into play in Ksiva? Shalkayim. Okay. So this is worth looking at a little more carefully on page 4. Where does the idea come in that Shalkayim means something here? Well, you got to be careful. Where does the idea come in that Shalkayim means something here? What's your initial reaction should be? Well, it means something in every Melech. Right, so it's Melechus Machshavas. Part of Melechus Machshavas is Shalkayama. That applies to every single malacha. No malacha is considered a professional, craft-like malacha, which they all need to be, Melechus Umnus, unless it's Shalkayama. And yet, this is going to be very important, we'll see as the halacha develops, the Mishnah puts across for Ksiva by itself, an independent noting that Shalkayama means something. So it says in Habona, someone kosa b'mashkin b'meperos b'avak drachim b'avak sofrim. Somebody writes with some kind of liquid, with fruit juice, with dust, with sofrim dust. U'b'chol davar she'eno miskayim is potter. If you write with anything that is not miskayim, you're potter. Now, again, why did the Mishnah need to tell me that? It's true, isn't that true for all malachos? So the Rambam, when he paskins this, he writes something very, very important. He says, "Ein hakosev chayiv ad sheyichtov bedavar haroshem veomer." You're not chayiv for ksiva until you write with something that makes its roshem, right, and is going to last. And then he gives the examples of various inks that fulfill those criteria, and he'll say the ones that don't are the ones in this Mishnah. And then he throws in something else, and he says, by the way, the other thing, it's not only that the substance that you're writing with should last, but the material that you're writing on also has to last. So even if I'm using good ink, but I'm writing on a vegetable, or some other substance where it won't last, that will also only be a din d'rabbanan. Any significance to the presentation in both settings? Shalkayim or not shalkayim? Why do I need to hear it twice? What's the difference? Anyone have an idea? Give it some thought. We'll see halach l'mais, it's going to be important. Come back to it. And the Rambam says one more thing that's very important. In the next halacha, this is really important for doctors. They do this all the time. writing on your hand, writing on your skin, right? A lot of doctors do that, right? Not all. A lot of residents do it, you'll see, because you know sometimes you don't have a piece of paper handy, and you're hearing something very important, you're getting some labs, or somebody's shouting something at you, and you just write it down. Now, writing on your hand, what's going to happen? What's going to ultimately happen to the writing? Anyone ever write on themselves? What happens? Well, either you wash it off, but let's say you don't wash it off, it'll come off by itself. Right? Your sweat, your body heat, it's going to dissipate at some point in time. Is that an issur d'oraisa or issur d'rabbanan? So Rambam tells you it's an issur d'oraisa. Why? It's not shel kayama. It's going to go. How's it different than writing on a vegetable? If I write on a vegetable, pot. If I write on my skin, pipes. So the Rambam explains, there's a difference. Anyone see it? What's the difference? Huh? So what? What's the difference? The difference is that it's compared, when you write on your skin, is it the skin itself, the material you're writing on, that makes it go away? No, it's secondary substances. It's like siva v'acharkach nimha. That's what it's equivalent to. That's what the Rambam explains. It's like you're writing for real, you're writing with a substance that lasts, on material that lasts, and then some outside factor gets in and makes it go away. Right? This idea will be fought about by some poskim when it comes to one of the things we're going to be talking about, which is going to be using a computer. You'll see how it has application. But remember this din in the Rambam, right? The Rambam says that is a din d'oraisa to do that because it's you're accomplishing full ksiva, right? And then some secondary substance gets involved. All right. Now, what's the issue of shel kayama? For sure, if I'm writing, you would think with disappearing ink, it should be a din d'rabbanan. Where is there any place to discuss? So the question is, what is the definition of shel kayama? How long? How long? So if you look at page 4 in the middle, there is a Mishnah that seems to give a rule. And the Mishnah says it's not in the context of ksiva, right? It's in the context of binyan, of bona. And then it says, Zeha klal. Here is the general rule. Kol ha'ose melacha u'melachto miskayemes b'shabes chayev. What does that mean? How long is shel kayama? What's pashup shah? Shabbos. Right? That seems to be the way the Rambam learns it. The Rambam is over there on the side. The Rambam says, V'kol she'em melachto miskayemes b'shabes is pater. It seems like shel kayama means if it lasts to the end of Shabbos, which is interesting, it's kind of a moving shear, right? If you're writing it Friday night, so it's got to make it through the whole Shabbos. If you write it 2 minutes before Shabbos is over, it's got to make it 2 minutes. That's one of the problems with that take. Many other Rishonim don't agree with this pshat in the Rambam. What's another way you could read this line? What? Right. In other words, what does it mean by Shabbos? It means the writing is on Shabbos, and then the shel kayama is open-ended. Right? Umiskayemes. Now, what's the weakness of that shot? Gee, as opposed to writing on Tuesday? Like, what? I need to be told that you're writing on Shabbos? So, the way, this is the Ran, the Rashi, Meiri, many Rishonim learn it this way. So, these are not dummies, right? So, how do they get out of it? So, the way it's explained by Achronim for the Rishonim is basically it's teaching you the full melacha without any need for hosafa must take place on Shabbos to be chayim. And then it's got to be miskayemes. What does this open up, though? See, it opens up room for these pens. Because how long do these pens typically last, by the way? Anyone know? The Tzomit pen lasts about 72 hours. Why is it made that way? They could have tailor-made it, I guess, differently. But what if it's a three-day yontif, right? Right, so, because that's the idea. Let's go over that for everybody. The idea of these pens is, we want to get the ksiva down to a din d'rabbanan, but problem is, you know, that's not very effective for medical record or orders to have it disappear, right? You still need it. So what do? Well, right after Shabbos, you run and you photocopy it, and you put it in before it goes goodbye. The problem is, though, if the Rambam's definition, or what seems to be the Rambam's definition of ksiva, is it's got to just last for Shabbos, these always last through Shabbos. So you're not accomplishing anything. In shel kayama. So, the battle becomes, is the definition like the Rambam, or like those other Rishonim, that are going to define it differently. The one Rishon that really comes out with a different definition is the Rashba. The Rashba over there on the bottom of page 4, he defines it in a very, what I consider a very nice, logical manner. He says, the way we're going to be, it doesn't have to be Kaim La'olam. That's what he wants you to, you don't have to have something that lasts forever. But it has to be lasting for the amount that would be the expected for the particular writing need you have. Right? So, for example, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha. And he says, like, for example, there's a havamina that pencil writing, you know, pencils don't last. When you write in pencil, I discovered when I tried to get, I had these great notes from the Yavama Shir that I went to like 25 years ago. I was all excited. I'm going to go look at my old notes and it's going to be great. They were all gone. Like, they weren't legible because they just faded with time. So pencil doesn't last as much as ink does, obviously. So there's a havamina in the Bir Halacha that for writing with a pencil, it's not an issur d'oraisa. And the Mishnah Berurah says, no, absolutely not. When you wrote with the pencil, you had in mind a certain length of time it's likely to last, and you're definitely going to be getting that out of the pencil. So it's an issur d'oraisa, even with a pencil, as much as it would be with ink. So we got to narrow it down. So how much is going to be the shear? So the Mishnah Berurah is really not helpful on this, because while in one place he defines it like the Rashba, in another place, on page 5, he seems to lean the other way. And he leaves you, or really on page 6, he leaves you confused. On page 5 is where he quotes the Rashba and the thing I just told you about the pencil. And on page 6 is where, and you can look at the Makoros at your own leisure, we're not going to go inside, but he then quotes, he says, maybe not, maybe we go like the Rambam, right? Rambam said, just for Shabbos. So you start to look around, what's the psak on this? Because it has such a critical nafgamina, are these pens worth anything? So you go to Rav Avadya and Yechavidas, and he also is kind of leaving it open. Also confusing. Finally, two great poskim take a stand. One Lukula, one Lukhul. Right? On page 7 is the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss. He comes out Lukhul. He says, we go with the Rambam, that number one, we go with the Rambam, and it's got to be, Shokayama is as soon as it lasts for Shabbos, so it obviates any possibility you're going to get anything out of this. And number two, he says, even otherwise, he's worried about the whole thing. Slippery slope. It's Maris Ayin, and also people are going to mess up. They're going to start getting used to using these pens on Shabbos, and next thing you know, they'll be using a regular pen, and they'll be, you know, unbelievably high degrees of chilul Shabbos because of this. It doesn't seem to have that much confidence in the doctors. But along comes Rav Shlomo Zalman on the last page, and he has very, very powerful arguments. And he is the, if you noticed, and I have it in the handout also, he's the Haskama for these pens, Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he gives very compelling arguments. I'll say some of them outside. They're all on page 8 there in this piece from Minchas Shlomo. Number one, he says, what was the source of ksiva? The crushing in the Mishkan, right? So, do you think they only meant for it to last on Shabbos? Like, for one day? When they were labeling the crushing, that seems absurd. So he says, number one, in terms of the model of the malacha, there's no way that would be an adequate shear of Shokayama just to last for Shabbos. Almost by definition. Then he also brings the Rashba. And then he brings what I think is a great lumdish point in the Rambam. And this goes back to what I was asking you before that no one had the guts to answer. Right? I'll try it again. The Rambam says the following, right? He tells me two things. He tells me, number one, he presents this idea of Shokayama in two contexts. In the context of the ink, the Etzem Ksiva, right? As it appears in the Mishnah that talks about Shokayama Legabe Ksiva. And then he gives me it in the context of the material I'm writing on, which is really borrowing from where? Gittin. From the halacha by Gittin. By Gittin, there's a halacha also of meeting the criteria of writing, right? So, why would he do that? And then, when the Rambam said the thing about Shel Shabbos, that it should last till Shabbos, what was the context that he was speaking? Not Ksiva. The context was Tzaveya. It was coming off the Mishnah in Abona that was talking about also not Ksiva. What did the Rambam, when it came to Ksiva, what Lashon did he use over there? Did he say anything about lasting just for Shabbos? He said, Roshem, right? What were the words he used? Very, very strong words. He said, it's something like, back on page, whatever, four, Haroshem the Omed. That's what he says. So what does this allude to? It alludes to the possibility that there's two halachas going on here. There's the halach of Melechus Machsheves, should be called Melechus Kula, right? Melechus Machsheves means that it should be craft-like. That's what's being defined by the klal of lasting for Shabbos. You want to make the criteria of Melechus Machsheves, all you need is that it lasts for Shabbos. But if you want to be Be'etzim Ksiva as a particular Melacha, the Rambam's telling me, and understood, the Kshakayama is much more than that. It's got to be Be'etzim Roshem, right? The Omed. Where do we see that? In Gittin. Now Gittin has no Melechus Machsheves relevance. By Gittin, there is the same issue of writing something that will have permanence, long-lasting permanence. So he says, he thinks, Rosh HaMazamin, you can make a case for the Rambam, that he actually, when it comes to Ksiva, agrees with those Rishonim that say it's not just for Shabbos. But Shokayama is not until you make it further than Shabbos. And maybe like the Rashba says, until contextually. Now when we're writing notes, or orders and things, we certainly want it to last more than just Shabbos. Right? And so a Shokayama would mean, how long do we want it to last? When you're writing in a medical record, how long do you want that to last? Forever. For as long as you can. Right? So if it fades out at 72, that seems to be a very valid, not Shokayama. And then he brings in Metzias examples, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, from different Gemaras, where he shows that, like, for example, what did the Mishnah say, Beferush is not Ksiva? It's only that you're putter for. Writing on a leaf. Right? One of those. Writing on some type of vegetable. How long will that last? Only a day? That could last more than a day. Easily. Right? So he says, look at those examples, and he gives a whole bunch of them, just like this. Analogous examples where the Pashut Metzius of the examples are things that last more than a day. So Shlomo Zalman making a very, very strong case, and he comes out in the end, and he throws in, and by the way, we have the Ramah and the Or Zeruah. So don't write in Ksav Ashuris, and don't write in Greek, and you could throw that in also. And he gave his Haskama basically to this pen, and it's very much accepted. That now, when would you use this? You're not going to really, nowadays again, we're going to be moving into computers in a second. You're not going to be using these for notes, but you know where you use it. You use it for signouts, and for updating signouts, and things like that I was telling you, sometimes you need to be doing on the run, would be the most likely place you'd still be writing by hand. Right? In some hospitals, what's the deal here? Orders, I don't know, last time I wrote an order was when I was a resident. By the way, there's lots to look forward to, guys. But turning residents, fellows are not allowed to write orders because that takes away from the education of the residents or something like that. At least that, where I did my fellowship, that's what it was like. It was usher for you to write an order. Right? If you ever caught writing an order, you got screamed at. But, which I didn't mind at all. Right? So, for the most part, the use of this, I still think it has a use for those situations where you just need to, you can't memorize everything, right? And you'll need to jot something down, the shame, how patient's well-being, under those conditions, it's good to have these. For if you end up, lo aleinu, being on a call on the Shabbos, and throw in what some of the other poskim say, is do it b'shino, and you really get yourself in good position. When is this particularly going to be potentially useful? When it's a Choloshim Osakana, if you're running into one of those situations. Because for them, you're never going to be able to just do a Daraisa. Right? You can't just do any type of Ksiva Daraisa for them. The Lechatchila is the Rabbanan B'shinoi. So you get that if you use one of these with the Shino. At least for Shlomo Zalman, and you won't be satisfying Minchas Yitzchak, but it seems to be a very accepted psa.
I have two questions.
Right, so it'll depend on the tzaras.
Okay.
Not every death certificate is a tzaras, believe it or not. Now, definitely there are many scenarios where there is a tzaras. So, it is a potential avenue, but you got to realize that it's not like open, absolutely accepted by all to use the pen. You have to make it seem to be a slash. Right? He's not the only one. There are other poskim that are not so happy with this whole thing. And you get into the Shokayama. By the way, the Shokayama also, you almost have to try out the pen, because they really don't all follow neatly 72 hours. And it depends on the conditions that you keep them. So for example, here's where you can really run into trouble. Particularly, let's say, with the death certificate. If you write with this pen and you file it away, it could last forever. Even though it's disappearing ink, it'll last 30 days if it's filed away without a chance to be in the open air. If it's in the open air, it will obviously evaporate and be disappearing much quicker. But you got to be careful that the conditions are met. So that's all, it's not such a easy, you know, absolute heck. Under Shas Adchak, it certainly is something to be aware of. To me, the most practical, real use of it is under those situations where you're caring for patients, and you, if I didn't have it, I'd be writing with a regular pen, right? I need to write these things down to take care of these patients. So, if I know I can do this, and all I need it is for my personal notes, and it's going to be definitely good towards the end of Shabbos, then I would use that on those conditions.
There was someone here who said he used it last Shabbos and it started fading before Shabbos.
Right, so that's the other potential problem with it, and why. It's interesting, in Eretz Yisrael, this used to be the thing, right? By the way, it's very interesting. In Eretz Yisrael, is a whole different ballgame than Yuchutznikim. They really have to deal with these things all the time, right? And the hospitals are geared up, like Shari Tzedek is a halachic hospital. It's unbelievable, right? If we had time to tell stories, I have some very funny but really unbelievable stories about what happens in Shari Tzedek. Do we have time for stories? One story. We're moving pretty rapidly. I'll give one story. What's it like in Shari Tzedek? You know, I once was giving a shiur on the issue of switching call on Shabbos to give it to a non from Jew. Right? You have, you're on call. You're from Jew. Can you switch with a non from Jew and put him on? So it's machlokas with Moshe Feinstein and Shlomo Zal. Moshe Feinstein says, "Yeah, definitely do it," like we saw in that tshuva. And Shlomo Zal says, "What are you crazy? Do it yourself. What are you switching to him? You're not going to be doing him any favors. You're going to be leaf to or whatever. And don't do it." So some guy in the shir gets up, you know, and you know, I had been getting a lot of sort of controversial questions from this particular individual, meaning like, he had a different halachic approach than I did. I'm not sure where his came from.
This is an answer, I said
it. No, this was in the shir I was giving in America, right? So, because it's the... It's going to lead into Shari Tzedek. So he says to me, and I was already getting like weary of him, because I think maybe he got it from JTS or from some other system of halacha that's not operating necessarily the way the classic traditional halacha system is working. I don't know if you understand what I'm getting at. But either way, he says to me, and I thought it was going to be another one of his controversial statements, because he was basically like mocking all the halachic process. That was what was going on with him. So he says to me, he says, maybe the machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman is sociologic. It's a sociological machlokas. So I look at him like, oh, here we go again, what's he saying? And he said something that really appealed to me. He said, no, you see, Rav Moshe, you know, when he's discouraging the doctor from being in the hospital on Shabbos, because he knows it's a horrible, miserable experience. By the way, in the New York area, this is not so true anymore. But certainly there was a time when if you're on call and you're stuck in the hospital on Shabbos, it's not a very comfortable situation. So you come in Friday night, and you can't go home, right? And Moshe is actually Matir, what we do next week. Blessed Hashem, we're going to do Returning from Hatzalah. So Moshe has an amazing kula over there. You can use derises and just go home. Drive home. Go in your car and drive home. Right? That's not going to be very popular. He's going to be Das Yachid against everyone else. Who says that the best you can do is like a taxi or something? We'll talk about that next week. So that also was driven, he says, by this sociological thing. Rav Moshe is trying to get us out of the hospital because it's a miserable place to be. Rav Shlomo Zalman is much more comfortable that we should stay in the hospital. Don't go home so fast. Right? And I'm thinking, how am I going to respond to this? And then I remembered that a few years ago when I was teaching in the Torah Shraga in Yeshiva, and I had gone back to the United States for 4 years, and I had this very tearful goodbye with my shir. Like, I didn't really get to say, it was sort of a sudden decision. I didn't get to say adequately goodbye. Next thing I know, right, I'm in the house on Shabbos, and some woman comes into the house holding her 2-year-old child who had like basically the skin of the hands and feet dripping off because they'd been in a bath, and the 2-year-old was in the bath and the 5-year-old was watching him because she had to run to take care of the other kids, and then they turned on the scalding hot water, and then the 2-year-old, when the feet were scalding, natural reaction, put the hands down there, so both hands and feet, horrible situation. She says, "Do you think I need to see a doctor?" So I said, "Get in the car," and I just put her in the car and I drove her ultimately to Hadassah. It wasn't even Charitzet. Go to Hadassah, and we go in the burn unit, and who do I see? My entire shir. What's my shir all doing in the burn unit? They had this minhag Friday, Erev Shabbos, they would have torch fights with their aerosol cans. So they would like take a lighter and an aerosol can and go like this. So it blew back in their face and it blew up. So why am I telling you all this long-winded story? Because it's kind of funny. But it was one of the best Shabbosos I had. Like, we had tremendous Shabbos. They had Chirim there, great Seudos. It was an Onig Shabbos. The Zmiros were as loud as any yeshiva I've been in. It was just an amazing experience. And that was Hadassah. So it's very much always at the forefront of halachic advance. That's how I got into this tangent, is what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened in Eretz Yisrael was they used these. Then they decided what you guys just mentioned is a problem. They were having that problem too. Before they had a chance to photocopy, and in a lot of cases they were missing critical information. It became a less than optimal approach. So they got into something else. You know what the second thing was? It doesn't exist anymore either. Right? Because now we're going to do computers. But they used to do like voice transmission, meaning they would like tape things, but record whatever notes or whatever they did, and then have it typed out after. Some of them automatically, you know, like they already had that kind of advanced thing. It gets into a lot of interesting shilas about, is that better than ksiva b'yadayim to be talking into a recording device? We'll see in a few moments, because it's going to relate to computers. That became obsolete, and now, which is a great segue, we're going to do computers. Now, what do we got to know about computers? Several levels. What are the potential problems with computers? What's number one? Electricity. So let's start with that. So on the first of the handout you don't have, on the first page of the handout you don't have, but hopefully you'll get, because there's good stuff in there. I'm going to do it all outside, but it has very, very nice makoros that are going to be useful. I gave you a page from an RJJ Journal article by Rabbi Jachter and Rabbi Broit. Excellent. Excellent on electricity on Shabbos. I highly recommend it. What I like most is that front page of your handout is a basic summary of the entire sugya, right? What's wrong with electricity on Shabbos? Is there an isser? So there are many suggestions, about 7, right? There is the most, I would say, well, let's go to the extreme. Who holds it to the Raisa? Chazon Ish. Everyone knows that, right? Chazon Ish holds its bona, right? Very important how he gets to bona. How's it bona? How is it building electricity? What are you building?
Circuit.
So everyone says that, but that's not right necessarily, because if that were true, we're in big trouble, right? It's not the circuit. The circuit completes the binyan. So it's either makib patish or bona because you're making a circuit, but it's what you are bona is the kli. So, for example, a computer, you're going to be over the daraisa according to the Chazon Ish if you turn on a computer. If you use a computer that's on already, you might have circumvented all the problems of the Chazon Ish if you guys are wrong about what you just said. If you're right, then we're back in trouble. Because there's many circuits that we're going to be doing when we play with a computer. But we're not going to be bona the clip. So there are many that argue that that's what he meant, which seems very, very established, but that's what he meant. Because there's going to be very problematic for anyone to tell me, making a temporary little circuit is binyan, right? That's like where Shlomo Zalman's going to argue, that shimush, right? Turning on and off something, right? He held even the fundamental of turning on the kli in the first place is just a shimush. But let alone when you're doing it with totally in mind that, let's say when you hit the keyboard of a computer, so you're making the circuit, right? Everyone knows how computers work? No one knows how computers work. So let's go over the basic science of computers. We actually have to know this because this is where we're going to work our way to see, is this the most make your way to go? So what are the issues? So first I told you turning on the computer is the worst. You know, in the hospitals, it's basically not a problem. Everybody has computers that are on. But if you're ever on call for yourself or using your own computer for whatever reason, I'll tell you, I've had this situation. When I'm on call now, so one of the primary obligations I have is to read, let's say, urgent echocardiograms that are happening over the weekend. So we have now great technology. I could do that from home. I don't have to go in anymore. So the tech goes in, and then lets me know there's an echo. So I can read it on my computer. So I leave my computer on the whole Shabbos as opposed to turning it on in response to the call, because that would be, even though we're going to possibly like Rav Shlomo Zalman more than Chazon Ish, still, if you can avoid something Chazon Ish thought was daraisa, it's a very nice thing to do, right? It's more than a nice thing to do. You should do it. So that's number one. But what else is going on with the computer? So let's start with the mouse, right? How do mice work? Dying to say that for so long. In Eretz Yisrael, by the way, they have a Shabbos mouse. But we're going to put off the Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of, Somed has built on all the things we're about to talk about, on every part of the computer that I'm about to speak about, Somed has come up with a way to make it grammar. So we have to talk about grammar, whether grammar really accomplishes anything. A lot of skepticism. I had a long talk with David Miller about this topic, and he actually has on Yutara, which I recommend, a really nice synopsis sheer of Grumma, really worth listening to, where we're going to really lower its advantages. So we're not going to need, let's say, those special devices, and you're certainly not going to get it here in America so readily. I don't think that, you know, Jacoby or Einstein is buying those, and certainly like my hospital's not. So what do we got? The mouse, it does make a difference. There are two types of mice. There's the classic ball mice that has... Anyone still use that? If you don't, I don't even have to talk about it. It's worse than the optical mouse. An optical mouse, whether it's a laser or some other type, is a much better mouse. When you use that ball mouse, it's opening and closing circuits multiple times. Every time, it's really cool. I actually read up on all this stuff. It's great to know what's going on there, finally. Right? When you move a mouse, there's an X and Y circuit that's happening to tell the computer where your hand is, and then have it correlate to the screen. But that's beautiful. But each X and Y in a ball mouse is a circuit. It's another issue of your with the optical mouse, it's much less. It might be one circuit at the end that's going to be communicating. So you'll want to use an optical mouse. Good. What about the keyboard? The keyboard is a problem because the keyboard works like this. Every time you press down a key, you're making a circuit. It's pushing two conducting material together that then transmits off to the part of the computer that is going to sort of translate that signal into some type of ASCII, you know, like code that goes to the processor. Forget about all these details you don't need to know. All you need to know is that you're making a circuit every time you press down a key. Therefore, they post-scheme highly suggest if you can, if you're going to be typing, do it Pshina. Now, what kind of Pshina can you do on a keyboard? So, they say use your knuckle, right? They have also these things, somewhere, leave it to comment, has come up with this like special kind of thimble, right? What is the worst part of the computer, or what is the worst sort of advance in computer technology in terms of Shabbos? Is what most of us have on our laptops, right? What's it called?
Touchpad.
Right, touchpads are the worst. Touchpad, every touch is a circuit. Multiple circuits all over the place. So Somed and the Postkin discourage using those. The best thing to use is going to be an optical mouse. And by the way, on an optical mouse, the wheel is identical to the old ball mouse. It's also multiple circuits. Don't use the wheel. You know how you scroll down? Don't scroll down with the wheel. That's like doing the same thing as having a ball mouse.
When you press a key on a keyboard, you're not really just going once, but you're really closing millions of circuits.
I knew there was going to be some guy.
The processor, right, the way that, you know, like a microchip works, is there are hundreds of thousands of circuits moving at any time. So you're doing one action. So you could say, okay, so that one action is really only one is there, even if it's doing many circuits, because it's one functional action, maybe.
Yeah, I would say.
But, okay, so it's exactly, but if you say that, so then the same should be true for the touchpad or for the mouse wheel. If you
no, because the touchpad is as moving. That's each action is a new part of it.
But if we say that touching one key on a keyboard is defined in terms of Waka, in terms of its functionality, so to do one action through touching one key, even though personally it deserves it, to one this or whatever it is. So, should the same be true if I do one stroke on a touchpad or one, I don't know.
Well, if you do Mamish one like this, right? But as soon as you're moving on the touchpad, you're hitting multiple circuits directly.
No, but how do you, why are we going to quantify that as being millions of Eastern versus one key on the keyboard and also close?
Well, I mean, when you push down one keyboard, you are directly taking one action for one circuit, as opposed
right.
to continuous action and multiple.
Right. And I realize that they could be different in that, but
I mean, I wouldn't lose sleep over this.
Matter
in the hierarchy. Well,
in a computer in the hospital, there really aren't touchpads anyway, at least for now. But the mouse schools.
For now. Right.
For now.
It is enough Camino that say that it will. Let's say for what I was just describing that I'm doing at home. So I got a mouse specifically because I want to avoid the touchpad. Because I have a touchpad on my laptop.
Is touching the button on the mouse any different?
No, that's like touching the key. That's also making a circuit. So you want to minimize
that.
You
have on-screen keyboard, so if it were different, you could just use the mouse and type the keyboard.
That's worse. That's worse. Each time you hit the mouse button, you are doing another circuit. All right. The other big nafkamina is what? So we did keyboard, mouse, what else is there? The actual ksiva, right? Now, what creates the ksiva on the monitor? There are three types of monitors, we all know, right? What's the classic monitor? Right, well, you're young, right? There used to be something called cathode ray.
Those are
for the old people, right? So, it helps for the halacha discussion. Those were the worst, right? The classic, those are the ones that like had like big desktops, right? Where they, before we had flat screen monitors and TVs, we used to have these things called, you know, tubes. And what was the problem with them? The problem with them was the source of, you know, basically all monitors work that there's going to be electrons that are going to be sent into some type of surface, right? We'll keep it simple, right? Even though there's plasma, hear all that, but in terms of Shabbos, if you have an LED light, which is not a daraisa, right? To be a daraisa in terms of electricity, there's only one area of electricity everybody agrees on: incandescent light, one where there's a filament that gets red hot, or anytime you're lighting up metal to glow, that's an issur daraisa. Everybody basically agrees to that, not just the Chazon Ish. That was in the old cathode ray tubes. Now, with the new types, LCD has an LED light, which is durable. Again, you don't want to turn it on to avoid the Chazon Ish. You want it to be on. And it operates with this electric beam. So the question becomes, when the electric beam writes on the screen, when you write on the screen via that electric beam of electrons hitting the screen and touching the pixels, right? Everybody knows, this is where the header would be a little helpful. I have some nice pictures of all these things. Let me show you. Just for historical purposes. Here's the cathode ray thing I was talking about. So I have one in my basement. And then here's the more liquid crystal display, the plasma display, all of the contemporary ones. Much, much better, so we're in good shape with that. But it became a major, major machlokas. When I type, let's say I get around the electrical thing, it's only Durabana. Electricity is a Durabana, computer's on, even the Chazon Ish is going to be okay with these little tiny circuits, we'll assume, right? But now I'm doing Siva. Am I doing Siva Daraisa? Can anyone make an argument why, when I type my words on the computer, it might not be a Siva Daraisa? Right. How about Shokayama? Right? How long is it left?
However long the sentence.
Right. So what would be a nice thing to have on your computer to automatically take care of this? Satisfied. You can see there's going to be a chumra here that the Shevet HaLevi is going to be disagreeing with everybody. Most of the posts can hold that just writing on a computer, because it's transient in its intent, no one writes on a computer for it to stay on the computer screen. Ultimately, you're going to either save it or print it, right? But your initial writing is not going to be Shokayama at all, so it'll be Durabana. The Sheva Nevi says, no, he takes that Rashba from before and turns it on its head. He uses it in the Chumra instead of the Kula. He says, what are you talking about? The objective of your Ksiva, you're accomplishing, right? It might be that your only objective is to make sure you're typing into the computer correctly, right? That really is the objective of getting it up there on the screen. Because ultimately, you're either going to save it or print it. So, but the Sheva Levi says, that's good enough for me, that's an Issa Daraisa. Unless you have a screensaver. Screensavers are great. Now, in Colombia, we have them. They have them here. The computer just gets periodically, automatically, wiped clean. That's a great thing. I don't know if Colombia was motivated, Shem Shemayim, but who cares? It works to sort of create. Now, even for the Sheva Levi, maybe we'd say, for a Vosner, that it should be only not Shokayama. But more than that, Rishon Zalman seems to have a more fundamental point. He says, writing through a beam of electrons flashing through to a screen, that's not Ksiva Be'etzem. So it's only Durabanan altogether. And at the end of the day, the part of using a computer where you're putting it up on the screen, Rove posting that you say that's only Durabanan. Which is great. Very, very helpful. And now, if you throw in a shinoi, which is tough to do, right, then you're really good to go. But if you have to, even for a chol shein basakana, you now have an avenue of straight derabanans that if you want to rely on the chayei adam, you're able to use it, right? And b'shas hadchak, you'll do it. Okay, so that's pretty good so far. What's the next thing you need to do, though? Save it. Saving it becomes a big problem. Because even Rav Shlomo Zalman, who's the makil when it comes to writing on the computer, he says to save it to a hard drive or to a disk is boner. And it could be an issur d'oraisa. So what are you going to do now if you have to save it?
Save it to a cloud.
So if it's a chol shiyush basakana and you have no options, you just do it. But what should you do? That might be an option. Yeah. And this is a different mimir than achri. Right? It used to be, in the good old days, when Rav Tendler's son was asking him, Shaila, what should I do if I want to be in a really good residency on Shabbos, I want to be in a residency on Shabbos, what should I do? So Rav Tendler told him, get a guy to go around with you, and he was able to do that. He hired a guy, a very famous story in my day, that he's the last person I ever heard that got to do this, right? Other than, I had this fellow who was like in the princely family of Saudi Arabia. He volunteered to be my Shabbos guy. 2 years ahead. It was unbelievable. I don't know what came over him. I never would have asked him. Comes over to me and he says, don't you Jews not need, like to do these things on Sabbath? You know, what are you getting at? He said, can I help you? I'll do it for you. And then he did it. So that was great. But most of us don't get those kind of opportunities. So you're not going to ask Amir Rahmi to write a whole note for you. That's a hard thing to get someone to do. But now, if I'm allowed to type on the computer, it's only the Rabbanan, the saving part, that's not such a hard thing to ask necessarily. Or, now, saving, by the way, is a machlokis. Rosh Hashanah this time, if we're going to be naked like Rosh Hashanah everywhere else, we better be machbe like him over here. But other poskim, of less well-known names, think that they argue with Rosh Hashanah about this point. They say even saving it is not going to be the Daraisa. But, you know, for the most part, I think we should be consistent with the Pesach. We'll go with Rosh Hashanah, what are we going to do? So they say Amir and Achri is one way out of this. Printing is the biggest problem. Printing is almost Chuli Alma Issa Daraisa. When you print it, right, that's Ksiva Mamash. There's no way out of it. There's no beam of electrons. It's real Shokayama. And there also, the suggestion is made, if you have to print, Amir al-Nakhri is the best first option. I'll start over there, we'll go around.
Let's say you hit the save button with your elbow and it's very shinoi.
If you hit
save button with your elbow.
Yeah, shinoi would be another option. But it's not easy to do. You might hit the wall. You might hit the beat. Just be careful. I would say that would be the shinoi.
When you're putting in save things, or doesn't it automatically go into not a hard drive, but into somewhere?
So, it probably depends on the different systems and different places, but, you know, let's say, what I have in my mind now is like, patient history, patient notes, continuation. So there's got to be some signal that your note has ended, right? And it's going to be stored.
But it's not stored on a hard drive. It's stored in a...
So where's it stored?
Like,
I would assume that it is.
Thing.
Yeah? Also, the cloud thing?
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to look into that. But whatever they think it's being stored in, the Shiloh for Shlomo Zalman, why does he call it Daraisa? Let's just quickly go over this and maybe...
Did it do something? Like, in every press something for it to save, or when you type it down, you click either pen, which is the way you said to save, when you signed it, or it was...
In effect, but it's going to the... It's going to be stored. Now, here's just... What's the lumdus of Shlomo Zalman? Remember, Shlomo Zalman disagreed with the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says that when I electrify an electric utensil, that's bona, because I'm taking something and I'm making it now a usable object that formerly was not. And Shlomo Zalman said to him, no, that's not true. Electricity in let's say, all the appliances is shimush, right? When you flip the switch and you're turning it on, something that's meant to be turned on and off, turned and off, that's not bona, that's shimush. So why is this different? So Shlomo Zalman knew he had to answer that question because he's famous for the shita against the Chazon Ish. So he says, because here, whenever you take something, and this is what was going on with those recording devices potentially also, when you take, let's say, an object that you are going to now create something that you will repeatedly use, that's bona, according to what Shlomo Zalman. So if I, let's say, put it on a disk or put it on a hard drive and then reference it, so I've created something now that is a new object qualitatively, and is bona. Now, what the good news is, calling out something from it is a durabon. It's just electricity. And really, for Shlomo Zalman, he's the one who says it's not really even a durabon, right? Shlomo Zalman, by electricity, it's nothing. But here I'm saying to pull up things that are already on the hard drive is nothing. It's like it's electricity. It's a din durabon on just that level. Creating the entity is the problem. So, there, it's even though there are shitas that disagree with him, right? They don't think that it is bona there either. So yesh al mi lisnach, I'll tell you that much. You should ask your posik. But if you want to be, to me, I want to be consistent. I'm going with all the clues of Shlomo Zalman. I'm not going to just suddenly give up because he's got a chumrah. And so I will, in that type of scenario, use a mi lachri or shinoi to bring it down a level and assume it's that. And when it comes to printing, it's even more l'chuli alma that is a daraisa. And often in the hospital, you need to print these things. And so, but it's easy to get a clerk or somebody to do it. It's not as awkward. It's not as tircha laden to have somebody just, you know, you might have to do a little explaining, like, what's your problem? You can't press the button, you know, like, that, you know, you get used to that after a while, and everyone knows you. And if you're in this scenario and you're with familiar people that are, you know, people that you can talk to. And I, by the way, I have found explaining things is the best way to go. Communicating with people. People are nice, right? For the most part, right? And especially people in medicine, right? And therefore, that it's an upfront thing, they'll understand, especially in the New York area, it's not such a mystery. And, To ask them to just press a button like that is a very, very question.
The impression I was made is it possible that Rosh Hashanah is probably got to be
floppy disk? So, yeah. He was talking when he originally said it, actually about in two contexts, a record, like making a record, making a thing like that, and what is this, the flop, like what they used to have. Right.
The hard disk is different. It's constantly within. It's
everybody like, applies it. I know, but they extrapolate out. But in other words, because it's, you know, the arguments that people use against it is not attacking him from his bone angle as much as it's nothing because it's microscopic. You can't see it. It's roshem. It's not mamish siva. What are we doing here? You're not. You know, it's never visible to the human eye in any sense. you don't even have a sense that you've done anything. There's all those kind of arguments that are made. But definitely, in Nishmas Avraham, the application is made also to the hard drive. All right. A lot of explanation of the technical details are in this handout that hopefully we'll be able to get, but this basically covers, in general, the thing. Now, the bottom line is that one should always look, whatever scenario you're in, whether it be Chol Sheish Basakara, in Basakara, for sure, you have no choice, look to minimize, right? But again, any of these little maneuvers, Shinuyim and asking and all that, that will in any way endanger the patient, you don't need to do, and you should do everything that you should do as fast as possible. Where that becomes relevant is people get machmir on the Shinuyim and the writing. Don't mess up that way, because that's a mistake. You could be very much wasting time. And what does wasting time mean? It means a total calculation. You have like a whole slew of things to do when you're on call, and if you find that you're taking too much time in any part of it, it will take away from the time that you need to be taking care of somebody. So that's part of the chashuva. Alright, start with that. Next week we'll talk about travel in, travel back, returning from Hatzalah, or travel issues. Happy to take any questions on you. Oh, wait. Well, 1 second. There's one other thing I wanted to mention. I mentioned EKGs and Holters and other imaging things are also in this schedule. Like, it's interesting. Let's say a Holter. If you become a cardiologist, which I highly recommend, it's a great field. So I had this happen all the time, even as an outpatient. Somebody comes in with some suspicious complaint that I want to do a Holter monitor, and I don't want to put it off. A Holter monitor is a 24-hour EKG. I don't want to wait till Monday. They came to my office on Friday, I want to put this Holter on now, and I want to know, can I have them wear this Holter on Shabbos? So Sekhanas Nefashos, for sure. But, of course, I want to like minimize. So, is using a Holter, which means that the patient's electrical activity of their heart is going to be recorded on this thing. Now, is that in any form ksiva? Is it like bona for Rav Shlomo Zalman? Because I'm taking a... Holter monitor used to be tapes, mamish, and nowadays it's digital, but it's still, you're going to have something permanently recorded. But is it really permanent? So, and they could be actively involved because they can get their heart rates up when they move fast or they're excited, and their heart rate's slow when they go to sleep. Hey, they're doing things, right? They're making the ksiva. So that was obvious. So the maskana, if Shlomo Zalman writes this, he says, no, this is not like storing on a disk or storing on a hard drive. Why? Because this is definitely meant to be temporary till the next Holter, right? We use the same device over and over and over again. Unlike a hard drive where it's more permanent than it's meant to be last. Scenarios on the front, Shiloh. At any point, you know, you do the three rules. At any point, you're contemplating needing to write. So she has to... take care of a patient. If the patient is a Chol Sheish Basakana, you can do anything, right? But you should try to minimize. So whatever you can do to minimize, so you'll do it. So you're going to either use, right, it depends what system she was using. If she was going to use the computer system of the hospital, the EMR, she should follow what we just were talking about. Use the EMR, because it's going to be the Rabbanan. Try to do as many Shinuyim and Amir Lachri as you can get in there to minimize it. But she has a whole bunch of consults to do. She can't, like, you know, sit there like this and calculate that she's going to effectively take care of the patient. She has to make that calculation. Let's say she's assessed the patient, and the patient is completely benign. Dizzy, because they happen to not drink enough that day, whatever it is. Like, it's clear to her, right? Now, first of all, you got to be a really good doctor to make sure that you're 100% correct. If you have any doubts, err on the side of caution for the patient, always. Telling you, remember those words. Probably the most important thing you're getting out of this entire series. So, but she feels that she's able to get to a point in the assessment that the patient is nothing. It's a healthy patient. What are you allowed to do for a healthy patient? On Shabbos? Nothing. I mean, no isurim. You can't do ksiva derabbanan, you can't do ksiva deraisa. Is there any option here? So, you have to work out what's at stake. Now, let's say it's a patient in the ER that she was consulting on. She's decided this patient could go.
patient's occupying a spot. You need to get things moving, right? Or it's a patient that needs discharge. It is a very legitimate cheshbon to make in your mind that this is holding up the working of the hospital, right? It's got to be real. You can't just let it stop. But you'll see as you get out there that this is very often the case, right? And that becomes at least enough of a legitimate understanding to work with on a level of the rabbanim. You're going to want to get this one down as much as possible. But you're making the argument that that patient out in the waiting room, who's potentially the sakana, or a chol shem sakana, I need to get him moving into the spots. I need the spots moving. So under those conditions, you can now work, at least with Amir Lenachri. You're not going to get them to use the disappearing in, and you're not going to get them to do it pishinoi, but you'll have to make the type of cheshbon. That's the only area. You cannot be rule number 1,000 times for Rav Willig that always sticks in my mind when I talk to Rav Willig. What happens if I, you know, in my fellowship, it's the first time I confronted Shabbos as a doc. I never had to be on a Shabbos. I did my Shabbos residency. Life was great. Now I got to confront Shabbos as a fellow. Maybe I should just become a general pediatrician, which I really didn't want to do, right? So Willig says, no, you can do it, just you can never be a Chal Shabbos. Just can't be a Chal Shabbos. That's the rule. Which means that if there is a healthy patient, you cannot do things that you can't. And if there's a death certificate to write, right, which is another very difficult area, you have to get out of it. This is one of the hardest parts about non-Shabbos residencies is dealing with if they force you to write a death certificate. Now, if that person's body is keeping the ICU bed occupied, that's a mamish already an opening, right? Under those conditions, or kfod hames. By the way, kfod hames is a very legitimate matir of the rabbanos, right? Kavod abrius is a gemar brachos about the yitas, where mamish always we say kavod abrius is doche yisuri the rabbanos piece of cake, even in the rice of the shavat tas.
But just that you were saying, it sounds like the death certificate you need to be more certain, like the ICU bed is the one that's being occupied.
Either that or
Kvod HaMis. But why is
that
any different from the perfectly healthy person in the ER that you
want to
get out to get?
Depends on the circumstances. You see, in the ER, have you been in the ER yet?
Yeah.
There's different times and circumstances that you encounter. Sometimes the ER is like, maybe I'm biased, but pediatrics is less crazy than the adults. Adult ERs are crazy all the time, pretty much. So, like, if you're in a crazy ER, you know, like, in different ERs, you know, there are different ERs that are seeing more than others, right? I'm sure, like, out here, I don't remember the time of stories. But if it is like that, whatever the Matthias is, you can react to it. It's a legitimate call to say, I need to move things along. It won't matter the race. You got to be careful because you need a cholafaneinu. If you have mamish cholafaneinu, you know they're coming in with the ambulance. You know, get moving. Don't even waste time. You can't even have a discussion, right? Under those kind of circumstances.
So I'm saying whatever cheshbon you use for that healthy person in the ER to kick him out, would you use the same cheshbon for the deceased to write the death certificate?
If the deceased is occupying a bed that is holding up. Someone who needs an ICU is sitting in the ER, they're much better off in the ICU.
What about even on the floor, if you have an ICU?
Or moving from the
ED to the floor. But you have to write the notes over there. I think before, were you saying that would be enough to not here and not for a couple of years?
No, you're, yeah.
Right, let's say you write the desk.
The rest is not.
You know, with someone. The choice is either write the desk with someone in, or Amir Lenachri in the ED to discharge.
Make it that. Writing this thing with a someone pen with a sheet, right? You're always going to, if it's something that, I'm not saying you can do this, like I feel it. Death certificates, the post can write, if you look in, let's say, Mishmas Abraham, it's a final word, right? He's calling all the post can, he's talking to Shomel Zahman, all the Yashra, he's talking to everybody. He writes death certificate as one of the things. He doesn't say the things I'm saying now. I'm saying that if the Matthias is such, it's obvious that he would agree that under those certain circumstances where it is real, that you need to move this along, then you can, and again, minimize. A priori, I would never want to give the impression that it's mutter to do death certificate. It's one of the initials of Ram, it's an absolute no. He does write in the ICU case. I think he does write over there where it's obvious. that we need to move things along, and he writes for the mace. For the mace is a mark.
For the rabbanis.
What does for the mace apply?
It applies to. It applies to Nebris, right? And it applies when there's going to be a delay in, let's say, the Tahara, the burial, the proper taking care of things. Now, if it's like within a few hours of Shabbos getting over, that's not the type of scenario we're talking. Somebody would say, well, Lane is nifted on Friday night, and you're the only one who can write the death of the something that's holding up the works, and they're screaming at you, and the clerk's coming at you. I don't know, I never was in this position about Hashem, I don't know exactly what goes on. I don't know what people do under that type of pressure, where there's no metzius being materialist. And it's also to write. So what are you going to do? So if it's mamish, they're saying, we're not, you're saying, well, take this guy and bury him, you know, take him, get him ready, right? Or do, you know, move things along, but you see tangibly that it's going to delay it. That becomes kvod hameis, and then you could do it. It would be a case-by-case assessment. All right. See you. I'm sure there'll be other scenarios that will present themselves. Yeah.